This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So Kendrick and I were just looking at his new beautiful template for his new beautiful branding, because in case you missed it, Kendrick, why don't you let him know the announcement?
I am now, like Emily, a partner of Cloud 10 and iHeart Podcast.
Boom.
Woo, 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 woo.
And they gave him a sexy new podcast cover. But true confessional time. Kendrick did not warn me when he sent me the template. So I probably haven't talked about this here, but I loved Kendrick's old podcast cover. Mm-hmm. I remember when you revealed it, because it was a big rebrand.
Mm-hmm.
Because you changed the name and everything. And it and the note that you were given was that it was a very busy cover. And it was absolutely.
It was so busy. Lovable, though, but so busy.
And the rules of podcast covers are that they need to look clean and stand out, because you're going to be seeing it in a very tiny image when you're scrolling on a podcast. You know, so I get it. They note taken. I visualized them just slightly adjusting, like taking a few things out of the background and just making the font more noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the whole thing. So Kendrick sends this thing to me without a fucking warning. And I was offended. I was like, how dare they? How dare they do this to your beautiful podcast cover?
You forgot, like, I'm the most easygoing person with, like, everything. I'm like, they asked me, they were like, so how do you, you know, you want to do a new cover? So, like, what do you want to do? I'm like, oh, my God, I literally don't care. I'm like, I'm so open to any direction, to anything. Like, I don't even care. So they're like, okay, we'll just send us some of those photos from that photo shoot you did for the last cover, and we'll figure something out. And so I, like, sent them, like, probably 15 pictures that were, like, already edited, and they sent it back. I was like, oh my God, this is fantastic. I didn't realize, like, you know, my last cover was, it was so busy. It was so colorful.
Beautiful. And that
it was, I love it so much, but it was because there are so much colors, like, with everything going on, the title didn't stand out at all. Like, it's great to, like, look at after a while. You're like, oh, Reality and Comics 2. But, like, this one, it's like, pow, Reality and Comics 2, motherfucker. And I love that. But I will say, I literally will, like, scroll to make sure, like, when I wake up in the morning, to make sure my episode is posted. I go right past it every time. I'm like, where the fuck is my... And I'm like, oh, I have a whole... That's not me anymore. Okay.
Yeah.
It's an adjustment period. I got to remember, like, okay, I'm a whole new person, a whole new world, like Aladdin. I got to figure this out.
I was like, Kendrick, it's not you. This is not your brand. I don't like it. Send it back.
She did. She told me. She was like, no. And then after a while, she's like, okay, I'm coming around to it. I do.
Now that I've taken a few breaths. Yeah. So anyway, we were just discussing that, and it is exciting and wonderful. But you know what else is really exciting and wonderful? This episode of Family Karma. How's that for a segue?
Let me tell you something. One thing I love more than people in our age bracket fighting is people in the other age brackets fighting. Okay. I love me some auntie arguments. That's what the name of this episode should be. Aunties arguing. I loved this episode. Okay.
Now, I posted this on my Instagram, and so you may already know this. I don't like to pick sides and feuds when it comes to TV. I like to stay team good TV, because I just like to be here for. But something about this cast, I feel so – I am Team Dharma, just so
you're passionate.
We're yeah. clear, okay? Because Reshma's always gotten under my skin. She's always triggered the fuck out of me.
You've always said that, yeah.
Oh, she's always got under my skin. So the way she handled this, listen, I got some issues with the way Dharma handled her shit, too. I do have mm-hmm. questions. Like, Dharma, did you ever go to Reshma? Did you ever say, Reshma, did you ignore me at the wedding? Did you ever do that?
Right.
Because if you didn't, then I do wonder, why didn't you?
It's a little problem. Yeah.
It's a little bit of a problem.
It felt like it could have been. I don't know who's, was it Bali's mom? Was it other Reshma that was making the most sense? She's like, okay, y'all are like dragging this. Like, you should have just went to her. Y'all should have did this. Can y'all just apologize and we just move on? Was that other Reshma that was talking like that?
I'm going to have to say that other Reshma was more like, Reshma, can't you just apologize? Like, you're making too big a deal out of this. She was gotcha. Like, why aren't you just saying, hey, I'm sorry? Listen, though. Let's just get into it.
Because we can do this all day. Let's get into it.
Here at She Speaks Bravo, we believe that Bravo TV is a great form of self-care and therapy. Look at me. I've been using it for over a decade, and I am a complete mess. Oh, that's me, by the way. I'm Emily. I'm your host on this journey, and I speak Bravo, as I'm sure most of you do too.
What is this, honey?
I love that.
If you're not already subscribed, get subscribed and hit that notification bell because I'm releasing new episodes at least 3 times a week.
Clip! You fool!
That's my opinion!
I talk Bravo, I talk true crime, and sometimes I talk a little scripted. So whatever you're here for, I hope you enjoy the show.
Okay, episode is titled Cooked and Served. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Amrit and Vish go to get their Botox. I was pretty shocked at the before and after forehead of Vish.
Yes.
I didn't recall ever noticing it, but my God, when you put that together, I'm like, yeah, good thing you're getting Botox.
When men are cross reality TV, that's why I feel like the wool has been pulled over our eyes for so long.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we're so like programmed to only focus on, oh my God, her face is beat, and oh, she must have had some work done, or oh, she's this and oh, she's that we don't focus on the men enough. And so they slip away. They slip to their little lunchtime appointments, get their Botox, and they come back to work and no one even notices. They don't have a black eye like Heather, so we don't know what the hell's going on, or just yep. looking better and better. We're like, oh my God, you have such great genetics, and we don't even know this whole time they've been tricking us.
And legit happy that he's just owning it. So,
yes.
Respect.
Yes.
But then did you notice in the confessional, Vish and Amrit's confessional, Amrit's like, Vish is like, okay, watch, ask me to make a face. And Amrit first goes, okay, crying, and then orgasm.
Your theory.
Like, guys, theory. Those are the two things. Could have been mad, could have been laughing. I mean, mm-hmm. surprised. Had to be orgasm.
Had to be.
Had you to be.
This. Had I to mean, be.
Come on now. Vish talks about how he wants to get a couples therapist for him and Richa, which, yes, I think Richa needs it more than she's going to want to admit.
Yeah.
Therapy, they
definitely need to like get rid of whatever stigma they have about therapy because they could absolutely use it as a couple. Yeah.
Yeah. Amrit talks about how Nicholas's parents will not be participating in the cool ceremony stuff on the horses or sitting on the mandap. And Amrit and Nicholas's confessional is very sweet because they talk about how his parents will be attending, and Amrit is actually able to say that, which we rarely get this, it's not just their gay son's wedding, it's their gay son's wedding that's going to be filmed.
Mm-hmm.
We never hear that.
Right.
Ever.
It's almost breaking the fourth wall a little bit because, you know, we don't talk about Bruno, and Bruno is the fact that we're filming right now. And so the fact that this, I feel like in their mind, they're like, okay, we're doing a lot already just by coming to this because you know how we feel and yada, yada, yada. But the fact that it's going to be filmed for literally everyone, because I think in their mind, they're like, okay, everyone's going to see this. And then we're going to become like this shunned couple that has raised, quote unquote, a gay son. And I feel like it's something with that. I feel like they're kind of looking at this selfishly, thinking this is all going to blow back on us because it's going to be filmed. You're going to be kissing another man on TV. It's not our religious customs. Like, oh, it's literally everything that, like, we aren't in a way. So it's all, yeah. We've addressed the elephant in the room now, finally.
They never, ever allow that to be said.
No.
So thank you. It's going to be said a few times. So mm-hmm. I'm so grateful that they're just saying that out loud yep. and not dancing around it and mm-hmm. making the parents kind, making it seem like this really confusing thing. It's like, yeah, no, that actually is a huge deal because they are from this very conservative town and mm-hmm. if and group of friends. And if they were on camera, it's a whole different story than if they just attended.
Yes.
So well done. Mm-hmm. Okay, Amr talks about how the parents are having this cook-off where the moms cook and the dads judge, and that sounds adorable.
Yes, except I'm not gonna bring it up too much, but not all of the dads are judging. Some did cook.
I was just gonna say Raj though. That was literally the night. Raj is absolutely participating in the cooking.
When I watched, I knew you were going to love this. I was like, oh my God, Emily, I know she's going to have something to say about Raj cooking for this competition.
And his lines are, the cook-off is judged off presentation and taste. I am making paneer balls in cilantro sauce, and quite frankly, it should win. Fuck, dude. Just, oh. Okay.
All right, Raj.
Okay, Raj. All right. All right. We go over to the Benny house. I'm sorry. They are my number one. We love the Bennies. Yeah. Dharma's making something amazing looking while she's like mm-hmm. hunting a fly. Here's the Bennies give us the best family confessionals.
Yes.
They do. They give absolutely. Us the best ones. Because mm-hmm. Mike talks about how Dharma's cooking is better than his mom's. And both Dharma and Brian are like,
That's saying a lot, too. That's saying a lot because all of the family confessionals are so good. Like, Anisha and her mom are
yes.
fantastic. Who else is it? Amrit and his parents are always good because I feel like Amrit is the polar opposite of, like, whatever they're trying to say. They're always trying to be so politically correct sometimes in their confessionals, and he's just like, oh, you know, well, dicks and ass, and it's like, okay, I'm red, like too much.
Reshma's cooking and Chitra calls, and Reshma has a point. She's mad that Dharma isn't going straight to her. Mm-hmm. However, here's what I wonder if Dharma has called her and Reshma's avoided the call. Reshma has a tendency to do shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Because we saw in the other episode, who was it? Who called and the husband answered?
Lavina.
Yeah, Lavina yep. called, and she couldn't get her on the phone either. And it wasn't even like she was stuck in traffic or, you know, dropped her phone or something. She just was not answering. She was at home, wasn't even planning on coming, and didn't tell anyone. So it's nuance is important here because we literally don't know what the situation has been. We only know what they've given us on TV.
Yeah, so I could see it being something like Dharma said something to someone, like, did she say hi to you? She didn't even say hi to me at the wedding.
Right.
And that got back to her, and she admitted to the cameras that she's mad at Dharma for setting up that lunch with Lopa. Mm-hmm. And so Reshma's notorious for running away from any kind of confrontation and being very passive aggressive. So I wouldn't put it past her to completely avoid any possible conversation. Mm-hmm. So I'm still on the fence about it. I still wonder, you know?
I'm wondering too.
If they go to events and Dharma knows that, like, she was avoiding her at the wedding. So, like, if you mm-hmm. know, if you've gone to something that's 3 days long, mm-hmm. someone has avoided you for the whole 3 days, mm-hmm. then the next time you see them at an event and they say hi to everyone but you, like, confirmed. What are you to think other than right. you're mad at me and you're not talking to me?
It's all the confirmation I need. I don't need any more.
Right. So then you're mad. And so you're then, mad. Okay, got it. Message received. Like, I'm not going out of my way to be like, so are you mad at me?
Right. And purposely, like, not even just like coming to something and not speaking. Now you're purposely avoiding group events too. Like, all of the aunties. Okay. A little fourth wall breaking here. This isn't just like, you know, off season, we're not shooting, we're hanging out, just us aunties, you know, we're getting together just to chit chat about so and so. No, this is literally, okay, we're all about to shoot a scene here, all of us aunties that get along, why the hell aren't you here? Like, why are you just not showing up? So like, that adds another layer of weirdness to this whole situation, and no one can address on camera. And that's the thing with reality TV, you have to kind of sometimes skirt around the real issues that you want to say, because mm-hmm. it's like, well, shit, I got to keep up the illusion for the fans and I can't break this and that. But so I got to say this in a way. And then that sucks too, because now you're giving the other person, you're giving them deniability. Cause it's like, no, I never did that. I didn't do, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. You know what they're talking about. You're being an asshole. That's what it is. You know what they're talking about.
And in a real scenario, if I was just super busy at the wedding the whole time and I found mm-hmm. out, like, let's say I go to the next event and I see the person who I was accidentally ignoring, mm-hmm. I would be like, hey, hi. And if they were like, oh, I thought you were mad at me, you didn't say hi to me once at the wedding, I'd be like, oh my God, I was so stressed out.
Right.
It wouldn't perfect even
opportunity to explain.
But you wouldn't then continue to ignore them.
Right.
So she's sending the message, mm-hmm. but then she's being like, no, I'm not. What am I? I'm not doing anything. It's like, but that's, see what you're doing? You see what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
You're sending the message, but you're not technically doing anything. So then the person feels crazy.
Right.
And that's fucked up. And that's
a little GL. Like.
Mm-hmm. Just makes me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This is also an interesting Reshma insight. There's a little confessional, Reshma and Lavina. Mm-hmm. Reshma's talking about her outfit. The producer's like, you ladies look beautiful. Reshma's like, oh, I went on J-Lo's website and she was wearing this. So I had someone make it. J-Lo, huh? Reshma wanted J-Lo's exact outfit.
Mm-hmm.
J-Lo's.
Where was J-Lo too? Like this, that feels.
I couldn't even, I'm like, what? I don't remember seeing right. this outfit.
Because I feel like it's almost a little appropriation-y. Like, what is this? Like, if J-Lo had this exact outfit on, where the fuck was she going?
What
like,
event?
Exactly. What? Where?
Huh? Can you link that, please?
Right.
We need some information. I don't get it.
There's got to be a Bravo style page out there somewhere where I can look and see what she's referencing. We'll follow up next week, people. We're gonna look into this because
I agree.
I have questions.
I'm like, you didn't make any alterations. That was actually just what the okay. But also, like, what a choice. What a choice to say, I love J-Lo's outfit. I'm going to go look like J-Lo. I'm like, okay, got mm-hmm. it. Okay. Say something about you.
You're the star of the aunties.
Mm-hmm. In her mind. Someone commented on my post about her saying that, like, she's kind of jealous of all of the aunties. Like, she kind of wishes she was more of the star sort of a thing, but doesn't know how to accept that. And anyway, moving on. So we get the cook-off at the Kapais. And first to arrive is, of course, Kalpna. She's just thirsty. I don't know what to say about her. She's just thirsty to me.
She's like, I'm going to be on this fucking show, no matter what you guys say.
I don't care what you did to my kids.
Exactly. I'm going to be on this show. Sorry. Yeah,
mark my words. This is where I wrote in my notes, Bali's mom is named Reshma too.
Yes.
Because I was equally like, oh.
I text Emily. I was like, because I, you know, certain when we watch reality shows sometimes, you know, we might look at our phone for something. Like, so when I heard like someone call someone Reshma, I'm like, and I hear a not Reshma voice, I'm like, wait, who are they talking to? What are you, What is happening? And so like I had to wait for like the next commercial break when they start putting up subtitles again, like telling you who everyone is. I'm like, wait, who is this Reshma? Wait a minute, what is happening?
It's such a big cast. Forgot
that. It is a huge cast where everyone is important, and that's the thing.
Yeah. It's when you're covering the show, it's a lot to keep track of.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I love Folly complaining about how her mom cooks. She's like, my mom's a great cook, but she doesn't use her exhaust. And then she lights candles. So I smell like a 70s hippie prostitute that hasn't showered.
That is like the perfect visual, though, because someone who doesn't use their, what is it called? The
exhaust, the fan.
The exhaust, yeah, that doesn't use that, but lights candles instead. That sounds like something like, my mom is not like, she calls it like the new Fandangle shit. Like she's not going to use like all the stuff. So she's like, no. I'm going to light some candles. Like it'll be okay. That's something she would do. I'm going to spray some Glade or some Febreze. Like it'll be all right. It's like, it's not, but okay.
Now you've just you've just done like a whole new smell.
A new aroma. Yeah.
A new aroma.
That they're not going to buy. They're not distributing that.
Raj and Anita arrive together. Uh-huh. They've come a long way.
Boy, have they.
The producer asks Raj in the confessional if them getting along has caused a stir in the community, and flash to them like in amongst like the crew being at like asking Anita, oh, are you guys getting back together? Are you crazy?
Never.
Anita goes, no. Mm-mm. No. Yeah, don't do that, you guys.
I especially feel like after Anita like watches this show, she's like, even if there was a chance, it's like, oh hell no. No, not doing it.
She's like, don't do that to him, guys. Let him be. Okay. Let him. Unfortunately, he'll probably just remain single forever. You know, he probably doesn't want, he's like, don't make me fake it anymore. I'll be single, but like, don't make me fake it.
Mm-hmm.
Chitra was being a little messy. Here in this, a producer probably was like, you need to get Dharma and Reshma to talk.
Yes.
And she was like, I have no idea how to do this because I'm not typically this person. So
right.
I'm going to just go sit down next to Reshma and say, how do you feel about Reshma being here? And Reshma's like, Dharma's like, well, you know, it's whatever. And then Reshma comes in and Dharma couldn't have been more uncomfortable. Reshma is ignoring her absolutely, but like
clearly
she's like saying hi to everyone, like mm-hmm. everyone around her.
It's like that Flavor Flav episode when New York comes in a room. She's like, good morning, good morning, good morning, good
you
morning,
good morning.
You can choke. Love that for her.
I love that clip.
Yes.
I overused it for a period of time, so I have to like put it on hold and then I'll revisit it. But there's a point in time where I used
everything.
I know. I have to like stop myself. I kept using Nene clips for too long.
Oh my god. There's so many. You just have to.
It's because there's one for everything.
Her, New York, Tiffany Pollard,
mm-hmm.
Mariah Huck. And weirdly, this is going to be a completely left field. Iyanla VanZant.
Those four for me.
Oh my God. Those four, you can find a moment for everything. And I die laughing every time.
Thank you for reminding me of Iyanla. Because what I do is when I make my reaction posts, mm-hmm. It takes fucking forever because if I don't already have it in my catalog,
right? You gotta go find it.
What I'll do is I'll go and like look up like best of whoever, and
right?
I'll do a best of Iyanla,
mm-hmm.
and I'll find because you never know what you need when you find like when you find a silly quote, you're like you might need it for something. You don't know.
You might. That's where Viola Davis is a good one too, because for her, like she says the most random thing in interviews, and it always like when she's like, I'm just gonna suck it off the bone. I use that all the time for like something so random. But pro tip for anybody out there trying to be a content creator, find the clip on YouTube or wherever your medium is, but like if you're looking at YouTube, because obviously that's the home of all things, but mm-hmm. if you find it on YouTube, don't click it there. Go to Google and type in that exact title. So that way you can just click the little buttons in a, like the right corner, it'll make the video big and you don't have to worry about like the banners, like new episodes of so-and-so, so-and-so. You don't have to worry about any of that. So it's just strictly the video. So you can record right away and go on about your business.
That is a pro tip for me.
There you go.
Because I'm always having to watch it like ready to hit the X.
It's so annoying. I had to find that banner thing. There's got to be a better way. And that's the way.
Okay. Okay, when we're done, I'm going to ask you to walk me through that again. Because it's so annoying, and sometimes I miss it because, of course, I get distracted, and then I'm stuck with that stupid thing.
Especially when it's like an official, like we'll say Bravo because we cover Bravo a lot. Uh-huh. If it's an official Bravo video, like not just like one that's on there, but like theirs are always like new disc coming on.
The whole time.
The entire time. Like, good Lord. But yeah, search it on Google. Bloop, 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 bloop. I'll do a screen recording and I'll send it to
That's
you.
A major pro tip. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Major pro tip. Okay.
You're welcome. The See, then you come to this podcast for family karma. You get some gems every week. Just leave with a little something extra.
Okay, that was a nice little detour.
There we go.
Oh, dude.
Now Reshma.
When Rishi's parents showed up, they have a darkness.
Mm-hmm.
If I feel it from them, they just that dad. Mm-mm.
But you know what I think it is? They give me that vibe of because when they walked in, I kind of felt like they know that their family is kind of like the topic of conversation all the time. I don't know whether it's because of what's the brother's name? The brother and the girlfriend, or whether it's Rishi.
Why do we never remember the brother's name?
I know. And then I try to find him online. I try to find him online, and then it's a whole nother thing. But I don't know if it's that dark cloud or whether it's because everyone supposedly knows in the community that Rishi's cheating on Monica. So, like, I feel like every time they walk into somewhere, it's always an elephant in the room, too.
Or he's notorious for cheating.
He gave that vibe when they had that dinner at his house, for sure.
Mm. So he has a just a, none of the other men give me that vibe.
Yeah,
maybe a little bit of the Patel dad. He has a little bit. He's got a little bit of that vibe, but he has a dark vibe to him.
That just might be thirst for television, though. Yeah, we don't know.
Right? I'm confusing that. Like, I think that's more of what it is. That dad has like a used car salesman. Like, don't trust him. I'm not.
Mm-mm. He does. Mm-mm. Yeah. Because we talked a lot about that conversation at their house when she finally came to like family dinner, and that whole conversation was like, oh, he's okay with cheating for sure.
And the mom was like, you just suck it up and live your horrible life.
Girl.
That's how she sounded. That was like her advice.
Right. Like, okay, girl.
Oh, got it.
So you say.
Along comes Kishore, which is Vish's dad, mm-hmm. with that speech that was clearly directed at Dharma.
Clearly,
he's like, oh, I just want to say, everyone, thank you so much for making our children's wedding so special. And, you know, we were taking care of a lot. So if we ignored anybody, Dharma, we are sorry about that.
Whoops.
Dharma, I like the way she handled it in the confessional, though. She's like, listen, you know, he's a nice man and he's backing up his wife. So I'm glad he said that. Oh. Okay, girl.
Let me ask you. So do you think that was a man backing up his wife? Like, let me go ahead and try to nip this in the bud because I know they've been talking and I don't want any further, like, you know, divide in our community. Or do you think it was like, oh, no, they don't know I can shade the shit out of everybody in here. I know y'all have been talking about us, so let me throw in my little jabs, too. Where do you fall?
I think he's shady. He's shady because then when they're fighting later, he makes some little passive aggressive comment like mm-hmm. to Monica's mom. He's like, oh, are they trying to solve the Middle East crisis or something? I'm like, it's not that big of a fucking deal. If your wife is mad at Dharma because Dharma tried to create peace between Lopa and her and it overstepped her boundaries, then she should have just said, like, don't do that. Like, I don't like when you get involved between Lopa and me. That's all she had to fucking say.
Right.
But now she's so afraid. And I always like to remember that Reshma does those like Tony Robbins self-helpy type shit. She's super obsessed with that. So like, mm-hmm. you know, she's got a thing. Okay.
Isn't it so crazy that like people who are like, we can't almost tell like the difference online now, the people that are just like always trying to give you motivation and positivity. Cause sometimes it's like, okay, that's a word. I needed that. That's amazing. But then sometimes it's like, okay, this is very Kevin Samuels, weird, snaky, like yeah. you're just coming to, like, I know for one, you're not practicing any of the shit you're preaching. It's that kind of vibe. And I'm guessing you're saying Reshma falls on uh-huh. that side. Uh-huh.
It's like, it's sometimes there's like these phrases and things are used as a tool to like escape just what you're trying to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's much more simple than that. Just simply yeah. face the fact that you didn't like that she tried to connect you and Lopa. That's fine.
There we go.
Not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Dharma would have been like, okay, I'm sorry. It's over. But instead you're ignoring her all this time. Remember when she, and I brought it up last week or whenever we talked about it, when she left, literally abruptly left and took her mic pack off at that season one auntie lunch event when all they were doing was talking about Lopa.
Mm-hmm.
And she left because she didn't want to talk about Lopa. I'm like, huh?
It was weird. In the driveway with Bali, right?
Yes, and Bali yeah. had to run after her.
Mm-hmm.
So, oops. Yeah, so she's avoiding something. And so I think Kishore is like kind of co-signing that mm-hmm. and has some mess as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
agreed.
Yeah, because I was messy. Mm-hmm. All right. They start eating. And I love that they feed this crew and they show it.
Always. Always.
This is always. The second time this season we've seen it. And I got some intel from one of my producer friends who said that they know people who work on Family Karma and they mm-hmm. love working on Family Karma.
Oh, good.
And I told them because they don't watch Family Karma just because they haven't had time. And I was mm-hmm. like, I bet you we see them feeding them, and that's only what we see. I'm sure there's more that we don't see. And she's like, that's probably it, because
right
she worked on Jersey in like early seasons, and she said they feed, like, Teresa always fed them, Caroline always fed them.
I can
them.
See that.
And it makes you feel really good, like you don't mm-hmm. leave their house without being fed. And so they literally are like feeding all of them. It's so cute,
because I see, you can really kind of tell when someone is like garbage on camera but not garbage behind the scenes.
Yep.
Because there are some people, like, you know, people can argue about Teresa all day, yeah. but like production always
loves,
like,
her.
They talk so highly about Teresa, and they've always talked about like her feeding them and like yeah. them basically like helping raise her kids, because they've been there for so, like, literally in her home for 365 days a year almost. Yep. So I love that the whole Family Karma crew is one, has a good reputation behind the scenes, because I feel like we knew that like some of our people were not the nicest, even though they're portraying to be the nicest, whether it's this reality show or another one.
Yep.
That would change it for me a little bit. Then I'm like, okay, right. Now I believe what everyone was saying on the show about you.
Right.
I believe it all.
Right. So if you've been following my content for a while, you've probably heard me complain about the joint pain I have been in, and I am able to connect it to my diet for sure. And if I eat certain foods, it makes it worse, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm like, 2023 is the year that I actually figure out what is wrong with me as opposed to just guessing. But you know, when people say, have you gone to the doctor? What doctor? Like, what? Who? Well, this is where ZocDoc comes in, okay? ZocDoc is like Yelp for doctors, kind of, because you can search. First, you put in your insurance. Then you put in your location and the radius you're willing to travel. Then all these doctors come up with reviews, and you can read through the reviews to make sure that this doctor is going to listen to you and pay attention to what your issues are. Because I can't tell you the amount of times I've gone into a doctor per everyone's suggestion, and they've been like, wow, that's weird. I'm like, excuse, this is your job, sir. It's usually a man, I'll tell you that much. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are
patient reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost any condition under the sun. No more scouring the internet trying to find the perfect doctor, or that doctor roulette thing where you keep going to a doctor and finding out, okay, never mind, not the doctor for me. That is just too much time wasted. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to help you find that perfect doctor that you haven't met yet. Millions of people use ZocDoc, which is free, might I remind you, to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient reviewed and fits their needs and scheduled just right. Go to ZocDoc.com/SheSpeaks and download the free ZocDoc app. Then find and book a top-rated doctor. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/SheSpeaks, ZocDoc.com/SheSpeaks. This year, my bestie told me that she actually wants to try and have a kid. I couldn't believe it. She's lived quite the life. We've lived it together. And she's a little freaked out because she knows that she's got to get her hormones checked and check in on her reproductive health. And it's something you don't really check until you are ready to have kids and struggling to get pregnant. But that's why Modern Fertility was created. It's an easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home. It's a simple finger prick, and then you mail it back in a prepaid label, and you'll get your personalized results within 6 business days. You'll get insight into your hormone levels, like your ovarian reserve, aka if you have more or fewer eggs than average for your age, and other important factors that can impact your fertility. The results go deep into what every hormone means, and you can also download the results to review with your doctor for next steps. Hello. Traditional hormone testing at a fertility clinic can cost over $600. But Modern Fertility tests the same general set of hormones for only $179. And if you go to modernfertility.com/SheSpeaks, you can get $20 off your test. Plus, you can get reimbursed for the test through your FSA/HSA. Okay? If you want kids today, or maybe one day in the future, clinically sound info about your body can help you make the decision that's right for you. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/SheSpeaks. That means your test will cost $159, which is a fraction of what it would cost at a fertility clinic. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/SheSpeaks. modernfertility.com/SheSpeaks. One of the most exciting things about coming into a new year is you just don't know what you got in store for you. From traveling to new places or getting a new job or learning a new skill, there is no better way to prepare for 2023 than learning a new language with Babbel. Babbel is the language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions. Thanks to Babbel's addictively fun and cute bite-sized language lessons, you can feel confident no matter where the new year takes you. Like I'm going to Tulum on a sexy solo vacation, and I've been using the Babbel lessons every day. They're quick, they're easy, and I'm getting closer and closer to being able to find me a hot vacation lover. Like I said, with Babbel, you only need 10 minutes to complete a lesson, so you can start having real-life conversations in a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 150 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, not computers. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. It's true, it's corrected me a few times. There are so many different ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to lessons, you can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, get up to 55% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/shespeaks. That's babbel.com/shespeaks for up to 55% off your subscription. Babbel, language for life.
Oh, no surprise that Kalpna's the one campaigning the hardest to get her dish voted as the best.
Of course.
No fucking surprise there.
As if that helps with anything.
I like that they're like, of course, all the husbands are voting for their wives. Like, Lavina goes, all the husbands want to eat again for the rest of their lives. So, but Mike voted for Lavina.
I love that. He's like, I'm just being honest. I mean, hey.
But when Kalpna won, I love that Suresh is talking. He's like, no, Kalpna's dish was the hardest to make. And Lavina's clearly bitter. She's like, not for her, because she's from that area. And she basically grew up making it. So she wanted to be like, she shouldn't have been able to make that dish. She should have had to make another dish.
Right.
But whatever. I'm not bitter. It's fine.
That's me, because I'm like known as like the family mixologist. So like we do like sometimes at Christmas, we'll do like everyone brings a signature drink. And so like everyone's hammered at Christmas. So we
all bring like our, it is.
They get so into it because like it's all about presentation. Like my cousin like brings like the half cut pineapples with her drink in it to pour. It's amazing. But I feel so slighted like the years that I don't win. Like I'm always top three no matter what, because I'm the mixed king. But like when I don't get first, I'm like, okay, this is horse shit, and I will never participate again until next Christmas when I participate again. But I hate it so much.
I will never participate again ever. Do you hear
and
me?
Then I do.
See you next year.
Exactly.
Okay, now Chitra's like, the producer probably pulled her aside again, like, okay, Chitra, you really need to get them to talk. She's like, fuck, okay, I will. All right, so she sits, they're all sitting, like, in very close proximity, and Chitra sits down, and she's like, so, how do you feel about old Reshma over there? She's right there. She's like, but Reshma, Drama doesn't want to bring anything up at all. Mm-hmm. I don't blame her. And so what does Chitra do? She goes, okay, I'm going to ask Reshma, and just leans over to Reshma. She's not even slick about this. It's so funny. She goes, is there anything you want to say to anyone? To Dharma or anyone? Huh? Slick is not her middle name.
No.
Dharma's being very sarcastic, though. At this point, Dharma's like, not playing this game. She goes, nope, I don't have anything to say. But Reshma says to Chitra, okay, she goes, well, the things she's been saying behind my back and not directly to me. I'm like, okay, she's right there. And Dharma goes, what? Did you say something to me? I didn't know it could get like that.
It definitely got like that.
I had no idea it could go there. I had to text Saiba, who works at Cloud 10. She's Indian. And I was like, so question, is this auntie drama like realistic, or is this just doing it up? She goes, it's not usually that intense, but Indians are very dramatic. And I was like, is it possible that the music and all the like production of it is what makes it dramatic? She's like, it's not far off. The best info I ever got from a producer about what it's like to really be there for these moments is that there is no music. And when you think about that, I'm like, okay, that actually does make it more intense.
Yeah.
Because bringing in like a music cue kind of explains what you're supposed to feel, but when you're just in it and it's silent, different.
You know what's a good example? I've watched this scene somewhere. You know how I feel about Mary Cosby. Mary Cosby is one of the funniest housewives in the world to me. I watched that scene so often that it got to the point where I started noticing things. The scene where they're, you know, she invited everyone to like the Italian dinner, something Italian, but she told Whitney it was a costume thing. And so they're sitting down, you know, the infamous little girl, like that dinner. And so they're all sitting around. And the way we got it edited to us, it made it seem so much more dramatic than when it actually was. Because the way I think they were actually talking over each other so much, I don't know if either one of them heard a word that the other one was saying. Because you can hear like when Whitney says, "You're not listening to me, Mary." You can hear Mary saying "little girl" right then, and then the next like moment they spliced her saying it "little girl" and make it seem, you know, louder and much more dramatic. And it's like, "Ooh!" But then when you see that, you're like, "Oh, oh."
They can do a lot with the editing and the and I thank them for it, but it's
same.
It's a very different experience when you're literally there, no music, no nothing. It's raw.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, so Dharma's like, "Did you say something to me?" And Reshma goes, "I didn't say anything to you." "I beg to differ, Reshma. You did. Okay, you said something about her just right there." But Lavina sees where this is going, sweet Lavina, and she tries to lighten up. She goes, "I think we're done. There's no hard feelings." Mm-hmm. Nice try.
But no, we got to talk about some shit.
Nice try. But here's where Reshma kills me. It kills me because she has an issue, but she has to start it. "No, but what hard feelings?" "There are hard feelings. You can have hard feelings." And then she goes, "If you go behind my back and tell these people different messages." Okay. So, all right. So now we're in it. We're in it. And now we're here. We're here. Uh-huh. We're here. Reshma says, "You sent messages through my son." I don't know if I would qualify it as like, I don't think she intended to send the message. I think Brian was messy. And unfortunately,
as usual,
because he is the messiest and went and told Vish like an idiot. And Vish is also messy. And then he went and told his mom. Mm-hmm. So Dharma, of course, is like, "Hell no." But why the hell does Reshma get out of her seat and walk all the way over to Dharma?
Ooh, and literally when she got up, I said, "Ooh." It literally escaped my mouth. I said, "Ooh."
It is so, I was like, it's the Housewives of Atlanta pajama party. Kenya Moore getting out of her seat. You got up out your damn seat.
Mm-hmm. And we know what happened there. So, yeah.
But what's funny is that like Chitra tries to downplay it. She's like, "Here, sit here, Reshma." I'm like, No. Don't act like she was just trying to get up to move closer. Why the fuck did she get up out of her chair and walk all the way over to Dharma?
Ooh.
And Dharma going, stop.
Do you think Reshma has beat a couple motherfuckers up in the past?
It feels like maybe this is why she needs the self-help Tony Robbins shit. She's got a past.
Reshma's like, no. That was basically her way of saying, fuck around and find back out. Like, y'all know. She's like, "Y'all know how I get down. Like, don't let these cameras fool you, okay? Bitch, I'm worldwide, okay?"
So Chitra saves Reshma here. She's like, "Here, sit in this chair, please." And okay, Dharma is just saying something very simple. Mm-hmm. She's like, "How I felt at the wedding was common courtesy would have been, 'Hey, how are you?'" Mm-hmm. Reshma's like interrupting her, but Dharma was the one talking. So in my opinion, she should have been letting Dharma continue to speak. Mm-hmm. But because Reshma's I won't say it. She goes, she doesn't let people talk. And she like looks across the room to like say it to someone across the room. I'm like, "Who are you talking to? Your husband?" And then she goes, listen. "You know something? When somebody is so aggressively attacking, it's not necessary." Mm-hmm. You're the one who got up out your chair. Didn't you?
She literally turned it around really fast.
Gaslighting. See, I don't like this. Is like, I don't
GL.
And so then Dharma goes, "This is pathetic and petty. All I said is I felt bad because you didn't acknowledge me," which is true. And then what does Reshma do? "Are you going to let me talk? Are you going to let me talk?" I Kendrick. Listen.
It's Kenya this past season of Atlanta all over again with you.
Listen. Okay. Listen. When she went, are you going to let me talk? I had to pause it and I had to take a deep breath.
Yep.
And said, she's an elder. Respect her. Because, oh my God. And then Lavina says something to Dharma. So Dharma looks at her because Lavina's talking to her. But then Reshma gets in Dharma's face and goes, look at me. Look at me. Mm. But Dharma goes, don't you fucking tell me that. Don't you? I'm sorry.
If this was a different group, this could have gone a whole nother way.
Uh-huh.
I was a little nervous messy. Watching this. Right.
Ooh. I was too. This was like physical and intense. Mm-hmm. And I don't like it. Nope. Reshma claims that she's like, I came to you on many occasions and I try to approach you. And Dharma goes, oh yeah, okay, sure. All right. Yeah, totally. And then in Dharma's confessional, she's like, what are you giving me this dumb face like you did nothing wrong? This dumb face. Like, I understand that, like, when someone's like just lying to you and get like, you're like, I can't even put another word to it. Your stupid mm-hmm. face lying to me. Ooh. And but then Dharma reads her ass down. And mm-hmm. this is where I, you know, I'm mad at Reshma, so I'm all about this. She goes, mm-hmm. if this is how you feel, you are 100% wrong, which I love that she said that. Like, I didn't think she was going to say you were 100% wrong, but right. I'm here for it. She goes, you know what I figured out about you, about who you are? You are a person with a lot of fake emotions and you need to figure that out for yourself. I'm like, yeah, yes, she does. She said, fucking mm-hmm. figure that out for herself.
Ooh, hoo, hoo, hoo.
And then
it was eye-opening
because she said she's always been closer with Lopa. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, doesn't that speak volumes?
Mm-hmm. And that's why Lopa's always had a hard time with Reshma, because she's like, she doesn't mm-hmm. like say what she means.
Mm-hmm.
She's always like, yeah, no, I like you. It's like, I can tell you don't.
Right. And we know Lopa is a straight shooter in all situations. So yeah, could you imagine? Lopa wasn't there, was she?
No.
Could you imagine how this?
Oh my god!
Good lord!
No!
Maybe a little too much. Yeah.
Along comes Reshma, Bali's mom, mm-hmm. and she's like, "It's. I'm just saying, as adults, it's easy to say, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Then it's over.' And then Reshma goes." Dharma, I'm really sorry you felt this way. Not an apology.
The most housewives apology on the planet.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Dharma goes, thank you. Fucking leave me alone. But then the Reshmas go and talk over to the side. And what does Reshma say? She's basically a bitch. Oh, okay. Okay. Got it. Okay. Cool. Cool.
Oh my God. We have really seen, like, we have like peeked behind the curtains this season. Cause like, I feel like everyone was trying their hardest to like
yes,
get along.
Totally.
And, like, they were holding it together with like duct tape and glue totally. This whole time. But
it's season three,
now.
Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They are doing it's Twitter wars. We're probably going to, we might even get a reunion.
Ooh. Now that would be good. You know what I'm nervous about?
Stage full of them.
I've been hoping that like we're still going to get like a full season of Family Karma, but the way that like they cut this Salt Lake, do you think Salt Lake City was like supposed to be this many episodes and then they just cut it, or do you think
they
were always
slated? They were slated for two more episodes than what we're giving. So this, okay. So tonight is the finale, but we were supposed to get two more episodes.
Okay.
I have a feeling they had to cut a lot of the New York footage because that was the pre-trial footage.
Gotcha. Okay.
I have a feeling they had to cut a lot of that because I'm sure legal shit.
Right.
Girl. Which is, that's bad. Like when you've got to cut because you got ads purchased and stuff, you know, ad space right. and all that stuff. So I'm, yeah. So we were supposed to get more. I don't know what their plan is, but they may be saving that for a Jen Shah sit down.
Mm. And he said he might be doing it this upcoming weekend, right?
I don't know.
I think that's what he said, but Andy lies. Who knows?
Yeah. And they also, I mean, what she got to lose? Although I think the judge can still add time to her sentence.
Really?
Someone said that, but you know what? I see a lot of comments and stuff, and I don't know what's right or wrong.
Ooh.
So don't quote me on that.
I'm going to look
it
was
up, a
though.
TikTok.
I'd like to know. Oh, you I never think. Know. You never
I think
know.
It was a TikTok. Yeah, it was a TikTok.
I'm going to look it up.
Nicholas goes over to Lavina's house to learn how to cook. Oh, it's so cute. But this is sad because he's very understanding of it. Mm-hmm. But he talks about how his parents won't walk
way more understanding than a lot of people would be.
Yes. Soon. I didn't realize how close he was to his mom. He said he talks to his mom every day. But he's again, he's able to say that, you know, maybe it's not so much an issue of them not approving. Maybe they're just more private, meaning they don't want to be on TV, which I'm like, thank you. We're able to talk about that because not everyone does want to be on TV.
Right.
And so he's like, I don't want to jeopardize my connection with them just to see them on TV. He says the words on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so glorious that we get
we
to
love
see that.
That.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He has to step out and take a minute. And Lavina's so sweet. Oh, I love Lavina.
I know.
So we find out that he came out at 18, but he came out and said, I'm going to try and fight it.
Gosh.
Oh, brutal.
God, this whole scene. Oh, my God. I couldn't imagine you trying to come out. But then, like, because I'm sure when he did it, he came out. He probably intended to come out in a way like, OK, I finally got the courage. I'm going to do this. But when he got in front of them, it became an entirely different thing to where he was like, okay, no, I'm gonna try to fight it. Like, this isn't, you know, maybe it's not permanent or whatever the case is. Maybe there's conversions we can do or something. It's brutal. It's brutal.
It's just such an ugly, ugly reality that that you would say to your child that their thoughts are wrong and their being is wrong. Ugh. And then he had to come out again, but this time, like, it's not going away.
Man.
Lavina says, trust me, they will love us and we will love them. I can't. How does this woman exist? Yeah, she's pure.
Yes.
She's pure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Chitra is pure too, Nisha's mom.
Yes.
Pure. Yeah.
Very supportive of her daughter no matter what. I love that.
And she stays on the good side of everything. She just doesn't have it in her system to be.
Yes.
Unless there's something we're missing.
Right. You never know.
Never know. Vish and Rich are packing up stuff from his parents' house because they are moving into their condo. Their little dog, Chini, with that little pink cone. So cute. I don't recall seeing their cute little dog before, but so cute. Of course, the townhouse is right down the street from his parents' house. They're moving some stuff.
5 minutes away.
Yes, 5 minutes away. They're moving some stuff in. They're setting up some furniture. I noticed something about Richa. I cannot put my finger on it exactly.
Mm-hmm.
She's very uncomfortable in her body when she's like talking to Vish. Maybe it's the cameras. It may be the cameras. It's just like they've been with each other for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still like a nervousness when she's with him.
You know what they kind of remind me of sometimes? This might stick with it because this might be a weird comparison. They remind me sometimes of Candy and Todd, the way they interact, because Candy sometimes, I don't know if you know, but like Todd will ask her like a super serious question, but her brand of like not confronting, but her brand of dealing with things is to put a laughter underneath it.
Oh, the laugh.
The laugh. And laugh. Todd called her out last season. He's like, why are you laughing about this?
I loved when he called her out.
And Richard gives me those vibes. I'm like, she's always smiling when she's like confronting him about something like super serious. And I'm like, oh, this is Candy syndrome. Like, this is really hard, like weird to watch almost. It's weird to be a fly on the wall because it's like, okay.
Great comparison.
You've got to, like, somebody's got to figure out what the hell we're doing because this is weird.
Great comparison because Candy equally makes me uncomfortable. That laugh drives me nuts. I wanted to do like a compilation of the laugh, but it's hard to find it because like I don't know exactly like where she does it. But like when it happens, I'm like, there it is. There's the stupid laugh. I'm like, what are you not settling into? Why are you so uncomfortable with like a thing? It's like, just don't laugh. Like,
it's gotta be because of Mama Joyce, right? Because I feel like she's so used to having to put on kitty gloves to deal with Mama Joyce sometimes. And like, I feel like she incorporates it in every aspect of her life almost, that it's like, God, we gotta figure this shit out. Cause
Rich is very uncomfortable. Like, there's just something not settled. I'm like, you've been together for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeesh.
Brian driving Dharma in his new white Tesla. And he's going all fast and scaring her and loving it. So cute. But then this starts like the split scene where he's talking to Dharma about the fight with Reshma, and Vish is talking to Richa about the fight with their moms. Here is an interesting thing I noticed.
Okay.
Richa starts by saying, I don't like that she's yelling at your mom. But then she says, it is sounding exactly like what happened with my mom. And I feel like as she says that, she's like, wait a minute.
She kind of realizes. She's like, hold on.
Yes. And she's like, yes. But then Vish goes, yeah. Like, is she just copying your mom? Like, are you just copying what my new mom said? Like, do you just want attention? I'm like, I could see Richa going, no, I think this might actually be something your mom does.
Right. This might be valid.
Yeah. Like, I actually think that I'm not going to, if I side against Dharma, then I'm kind of siding against my mom too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I saw her start because she's like, obviously, if we're doing this on camera, I'm going to be team Reshma because this is my mom now. Mm-hmm. But then my mom had the exact same issue. So this is a little tricky. And I get what Vish is trying to do. He said this a few times, that Dharma's like thirsty, kind of. That's the vibe he's trying to throw out, that like she's just trying to get attention for cameras.
This is going to set up a great next episode. Boy, oh boy.
Boy, oh boy. Ooh. Vish is like, the way the situation went down is honestly very childish. All right. Then Brian's confessional. He goes, oh, auntie drama always makes its way into the kids' drama. I just got to learn to keep my mouth shut. Yes, you do. Brian.
Yeah, you do, Brian. This is now like the 19th confrontation you've caused this season alone.
Brian, that's why he makes good TV, but seriously, Brian. Mm-hmm.
Right. He got into it with Amrit because he told Vish like immediately or something with them. He got in trouble with Monica because he ran and told Rishi everything. Now he's gotten in trouble with them. It's like, good Lord, Brian, I love you for this, but good God.
You are the worst. Brian and Dharma, all she was doing was taking me to the car puja blessing. And I love... Dharma says something like, I hope you're, this is in the confessional, like the Benny confessional. She's like, he's a good driver. She said he's a bad driver. And Mike goes, well, who taught him? And she's like, I am a very careful driver. And they're like, oh, both Mike and Brian do the impersonation. They're like, you'll be like yelling at us like, hey, get back. Ah, like in an accident. They do the best confessionals.
They do.
They give you camp. So good. They give you theater. They give you. They've given us the one where they're making fun of Mike as a DJ back in the 90s. They give us a lot.
They're so good.
Dharma goes, I'm very proud of Brian. He's grown up. He's matured. And Mike goes, what has he done to make you think that? What are you talking about?
That's just a mama that loves her son.
Totally. Vish and Racket Vish and Rich's place. Vish is like, hey, he's all scared. He's like, hey, so I don't want our fights to be so extreme. So I reached out to a therapist to see if maybe she would, to my therapist to see if maybe she would see both of us. And thank God, Richard goes, okay, I don't think it's the worst idea. And he's like, right. Oh, Jesus Christ, thank you.
He's expecting a full-on explosion in this
house. I was too, right? I think we all were. We were like, don't duck and cover, fish. but here's what Rich has said in her, in the confessional, you know, she's like, I don't need therapy. I'm aware of all my flaws. I know what they all are. No one does.
I've ranted about this before though, but people that say stuff like that, because there are a lot of people that are like, no, what they say, people are like getting to arguments with other people and are like, no, well, I know I do that. I know I do. And so-and-so are like, oh, I know I have that issue. And I'm like, okay, if you can, if you're like self-aware enough to say out loud that you know you have this problem, what are you actively doing to like stop it if you know that it's causing friction in your relationships in real life? Like, that's weird as hell to me. I would almost rather you be oblivious to the fact that you're doing stuff than be self-aware that you're an asshole in some situations. It's like, it's not a cute character trait. Like, what are we doing?
You're like, it's not adorable that you know you do that.
Right.
It's like, oh, so you do know you do that and you do it anyway?
It drives me crazy on all reality shows. They do it on all. They're like, no, I know that I do this, but at least I'm this. And it's like, no, at least nothing.
I know, they use it as a flex. Like, well, at least I know I do that.
Exactly.
Well, that's like the starting point. Then you should fix it.
There's like a lot more work to do, pal. Sorry.
It's like, and then you fixed it. Like, what? Rich is still hanging the legal marriage over Vish's head. How is she doing that?
I don't know. It's got to be for cameras, because I'm like, what? I almost like want to look at the law in Florida. Well, okay. Florida's a weird place, so I don't even know. Like, I, you know what? Maybe they're not married. I don't even know.
I can't look at the law in Florida.
I can't even tackle that right now. I don't know.
Vish's parents come over and they bless the house, but then after that's done, Vish brings up Dharma, and Reshma goes, when you disrespect a person with a loud voice, that person is not worth making amends. Okay. That is so minor. When you disrespect a person with a loud voice, that person is not worth making amends. So if you get in a fight with someone, like, what the fuck? So you get in a fight with someone one time, that's it. Done. Never talking to them again.
New rules every day.
You yell too.
Right.
I can't.
You can't keep up.
Vish is like, I don't want to be affected by it, but I'm pretty sure this is a good storyline. So I'm going to stay in mind.
Right. Exactly.
Good
choice.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that, like, all he's concerned about is that, you know, the Bennies are going to end up looking like the cool family. So he's like, fuck, I can't have that.
Exactly.
And the producer in his confessional is like, are you going to drop it? He goes, fuck no. I got to keep this going.
Exactly. Give the people what we want. We want it.
Yeah.
Next time,
dude, the drama on that golf course. Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. You got Vish, Rishi, and Brian golfing. And Vish has the nerve to say to Brian he regrets inviting his mom to the wedding.
Ooh.
And Brian goes, well, then maybe the Bennies don't come around anymore. And Rishi goes, that's extreme. And Brian goes, well, yeah, I'll make it extreme. Ooh, yeah, you will.
We love that.
You will, baby.
We love that.
Oh, that was cute.
That's going to be a good episode. Can't wait for that.
Me too. That was a good one. I know. Great episode. Great episode. Yes. Loving the auntie drama. So I did see on that account, Family Karma Cast, I think is the account. They said that it looks like there might be 16 whole episodes this season.
Ooh.
Which is officially the longest season we've had. It's a full proper season. I'm so happy about that.
Love
because
that.
Because that's a good sign for them then doing a season four, and meaning that there's like, we're not, but that's what's always scary about a show like this. Mm-hmm. We've turned a lot of new listeners or new viewers onto this show.
I'm glad. People say it in my DMs too, but I'm like, I hope y'all are really watching. Like, I really do. I'm like, get in on it. Yeah. Right now.
Yeah, we've definitely turned some people on, so that's good. But like, I feel like having a 16-episode season feels like a good sign. Like, they're like, yes, this is a good show.
Because they could have cut it like Salt Lake, so.
Yeah. I think that they, so the only reason I know this is because sometimes my sister and brother-in-law will like watch sports, and I'm suddenly like, wait, Below Deck is getting an advertisement right now?
Right.
They need to fucking put Family Karma ads in places. Like, they give Below Deck a lot
they
of
promoted
love.
In no way, like no shape no or fashion. Way. You don't hear advertisements anywhere, and they like don't include them. Like, we see Housewives going on all of the daytime shows to promote their show, like everything. We don't see anybody from Family Karma anywhere. Even Watch What Happens Live, which is on the goddamn network. We like had to rejoice that Brian Benny was on there the other night. It's like, no, he should have been like the 19th person on there from the show this season. What are you talking about?
Like, it should be pair them up with a housewife. Like, it should be like a housewife and one of the cast, a housewife and one of the cast, because there's so many of them.
Exactly. We've got Potomac Aaron right now. Just put two of them every time, like on the show.
I agree.
Why the hell wasn't Monica or Rishi on the show after that whole little, the dumbest mistake they could have made? Are you kidding
me? Were they really not?
They were not.
I think they're intentional. You know what, though? I feel like they're intentionally keeping them hidden because they actually want us to be surprised about the relationship status. Right, because she still hasn't answered what her relationship status is. We still don't know what it is. This is That's the true. One and only time social media hasn't ruined a relationship status.
So after this episode where they get on this boat or gondola or whatever,
is that what's happening next week?
I don't think that's next week. I don't think
I'll just give it to me already.
I know, because I'm going to go to social media right after and see if there's like a ring reveal. And we're just like, oh, just kidding. We actually do love each other. Haha. Funny. Maybe that's
not,
why
I will not be happy for that. Them. What were you going to say?
No, I'll say it offline. I was about to say something that I should not say.
Well, I said I'm not going to be excited. I'm going to be very nervous. Even if he does propose, I'm going to be very nervous the whole time. Because getting proposed to, getting engaged, getting married to someone you don't trust is not a good thing.
Right.
So you still got to be with that person.
But a lot of people just want the ring. They want the marriage. They want the kids. So they'll just like whoever offers
will
it to
do
me,
it.
Here I am.
There it is. Mm. All right, guys. That wraps us up for the week. Why don't you tell the people where to find you now that you're all new and shiny and clean?
Okay. You guys can find me anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, iHeart, all of the places. I am Reality and Comics 2, hosted by Kendrick Tucker. Search my name, search the name of the podcast, either one, you'll find me. Follow me on social media at Reality Comics 2 on Instagram. That's T-O-O. Come for the podcast, stay for the memes.
It's the best. All right, guys. Love you. Mean it. Bye.
Bye.
Hi guys, thank you so much for listening and for watching. If you wouldn't mind, if you are listening, could you please leave a 5-star rate and review? That would be amazing. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed, like this video, and comment below. That would also be fantastic. Don't forget, I've got the Patreon up and running now. That is where all the Bravo jams will be covered. I'm talking Table Flip. I'm talking old school Atlanta. I'm talking old school Beverly Hills. All the good stuff that brought us together as Bravo fans. And of course, follow me on social media if you're not already at She Speaks Bravo on TikTok and on Instagram. And if you want to go that extra mile to support me, buy me a coffee, or two, or five, at buymeacoffee.com/SheSpeaksBravo. All right, guys, I'll see you next time.
Hey, Troy and Kelly here, and we are the hosts of Beyond the Blinds podcast, where you'll get all your celebrity gossip needs.
We'll take you beyond the celebrity blinds and dive deeper into the dark side of Hollywood.
This podcast is full of scandal, intrigue, and gossip surrounding your favorite celebrities.
Listen now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't be rotted.